The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed and left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
You may be seated.
Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. What an excellent gospel reading for me to share with you some thoughts about this morning, as St. Andrew's is in the midst of the annual stewardship campaign this year called Love in Action. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ryan Heckman. I'm a social justice movement organizer, a storyteller, and a fundraiser. I'm also hoping and praying soon to be a Lutheran seminarian. I was invited to join you this Sunday because of my fundraising background and because I happen to work at or live at Loomis Chafee, where my husband works alongside Reverend Charlotte's husband, Eric. And I'm really excited to be here this morning, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you, Reverend Charlotte. When I read this Sunday's gospel text in Matthew, I simultaneously thought, oh yes, we can just get right out there and talk about money. While also thinking, oh money and politics combined. Great. What did you do to me, Reverend Charlotte? A few years ago, I set up an individual meeting with a donor for an organization I was working for as a fundraiser. I was thrilled because I was a new staff member and this donor had been a longtime contributor to the organization and he had been volunteering for years also. So I set the meeting for 10 a.m. I went down to this perfect little coffee shop just down the road from the organization to meet him. I grabbed my coffee, I sat down to review a few notes and to kind of review what questions I wanted to ask him to get to know him. And I was feeling so great about it. Well, the donor comes in, exchanges some pleasantries, you know, mild pleasantries, and then just says, "So, how much and what do you need it for?" I was flabbergasted. I almost choked on my coffee that I had bought. And it was just so direct. It was something I wasn't used to. It happened in the great state of Minnesota where I grew up. And let me tell you, that is not how we communicate there. Let's sit down and get our coffee and have a couple bites of our bars before we get into real substantive conversation. But as I gathered myself up, I let him know that I wasn't going to ask him for money at that meeting. I just wanted to get to know him and his extensive past work with the organization. I really wanted to get to know him and learn what called him to this organization and to the work that we were doing. I wanted to learn where his passion for this organization was rooted and how we could tap into that passion in the future. After the meeting, I was thinking about his brusque statement, "So, how much and what do you need it for?" It was nagging at me as someone who wants everyone to feel excited and really good about where they make gifts. I kept asking, where is that statement rooted? So to help me get there, let's take a look at this week's text, which is also talking about money. The Pharisees and the Herodians who were two opposing political parties of the time, to use kind of a modern parallel. And they came together in what seems to be a shared disdain for Jesus, and they tried to flatter Jesus, and then tried to trip him up with some kind of a catch-22 question. They ask him, is it right to pay taxes to the emperor or not? This question was meant to either get Jesus into trouble with the Roman Empire by saying with gusto, it is not okay to pay taxes, or to get Jesus into trouble with his followers by saying, yes, of course it's okay to pay taxes. The only thing that's certain in our world is death and taxes, or something to that effect. But Jesus instead asks for a coin and asks whose image is on this coin. And because Caesar's image is on the coin, Jesus amazes them by saying, give therefore to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. This Sunday's reading ends our extended period of time hearing from Jesus' parables in the Gospel of Matthew, and we must come together around these sometimes confusing and challenging words one last time in faith to listen for where God is speaking. What is the gospel message here? Is Christ calling us to separate our civil and our spiritual lives? We are here in this world and just trying to get by, and then on Sunday we can come to church and leave everything behind us and just focus on our spiritual lives, the separation of our lives in the world and our faith lives here? Or is Jesus asking us to examine our callings as both citizens of this world and people of faith, so we can decide how and where we are called into the world? The conversation I was having with the donor I met with focused on this part of his life. I wanted to engage him in his life and his work to find out what gets him up in the morning and what is at the root of his motivation for him to take a meeting with me at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. For us as people who have faith in the promises God makes to us through Jesus Christ, we can take strength in knowing that through our baptism, we are claimed by God, and this is the key part, we are sent into the world to bring the gospel promise of life to our jobs, to our family, to our friends, and to our neighbors. We belong to God in all our being, with all of our talents, interests, time, and yes, wealth. So when we faithfully discern how we are called, there is no separation between our daily work and service and God. All of that is worship. On the surface, this text seems to be about compartmentalizing. But perhaps what the Pharisees and Herodians were amazed about was that it is actually showing Christ's thinking about the abundance of God. As God's beloved, we are called to make God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, being good stewards of the resources available to us, including Caesar's treasure. So, what do I mean when I say stewardship or being good stewards? Well, every year during the stewardship campaign in my home church, my pastor, Patrick Shebeck, lets us know that stewardship is often spoken of in the Gospels, and it's never spoken of as inseparable from the call of Jesus. That is, Jesus calls people to be fully immersed in the world as Jesus was, and calls people to utilize the resources provided to us for the glory of God and for justice, and to spread the good news of the gospel to all of God's creation. Let me ask an even more specific question. Is Jesus asking this community, St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, to examine your calling as a faith community in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, to decide how you are called to be working towards God's justice and good news in your church and city? How are you being good stewards, in the gospel sense of the word, of the resources given to you by God? Over several months, I engaged the donor I spoke about before, and I focused on his interests and long-term call to be a part of the organization we were both working to support. He learned about the work taking place, and he engaged directly with the people he had supported for years. He was able to deepen his relationships and to see the needs of the organization and the communities served. He seemed to be connecting his spirit and his work together. He had discerned how he was going to be a good steward of the resources he was given by God. He was no longer giving just because he felt he was obligated, because he had been for every year. He began to see the thing that we see through Jesus, that it is our privilege and our joy to give from God's abundance to a mission that we all hold dear. What would it look like for each of you to dig a bit deeper into a part of St. Andrew's mission and ministry before the end of this year? Get to know the work. Get to know those doing the work. Get to know those served by the work, possibly digitally, right now. What would it feel like to see a bit clearer where your heart is in this place, in the work being done by this place? What would it mean for you to give a meaningful gift to the ministries of this community, to steward the gifts given to you in the gospel sense? I hope that through the gospel promise of baptism, you will see the abundance of God in your work and in your service. I hope the abundance of God can inspire you to discern gifts to St. Andrew's and to other organizations that you hold dear. I pray that each of you will see the ways that you are marked with the cross of Christ and claimed by God in each and every part of your life. Now, let's heed our call and steward God's abundance for the glory of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.